Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Prabhupada, 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 Jaya 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 Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadada Swasti Gaur Bhaktivinoda Jai Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopika Shama Kunda Radha Kari Guru Gavadanki Jai Sri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai Navadut Dham Ki Jai Vahung Jumana Tulsi Bhakti Devi Ki Jai Ananda Puri Vaishnava Vindi Ki Jai Samaveta Bhakti Vindi Ki Jai Go Premanandi All glories to the Sam of the Vodis, all glories to the Sam of the Vodis, all glories to the Sam of the Vodis, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gurunga, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhaktivedanta Swami Nityanamani Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pachadane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashtacharesha Tadane Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasani Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Reading from Srimad Bhavam, Canto 10, Chapter 40, Verse 1. Sri Akura Uvacha, Nathosmiaham Tvakila Heta Hetum, Narayanam Purusham Adyam Avyayam. Yadnabi jatad aravinda koshad Brahma virasi yata esha lokaha.
Thank you.
Sri Akara Uvacha. Sri Akara said, Nataha, bow down, Asmi, am, aham, I, Tva, to you, Akila, of all, Hetu, causes, Hetum, cause, Narayanam, Lord Narayana, Purusham, Supreme Person, Adyam, original, Avyayam, inexhaustible, Yat, from whose, Nabi, navel, Jatat, which was generated, Aravinda, of a lotus plant, Koshat, from the world, Brahma, Brahma, Avirasit, appeared, Yattaha, from whom, Esha, this, Loka, world. Translation, Sri Akura said, I bow down to you, the cause of all causes, the original inexhaustible, Supreme Person Narayana. From the world of the lotus, born from your navel, Brahma appeared, and by his agency, this universe has come into being. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, and its source, false ego, mahatattva, total material nature, and her source, the Supreme Lord's Purusha expansion, the mind, the senses, sense objects, and the senses presiding deities, all these causes of the cosmic manifestation are born from your transcendental body. The total material nature and these other elements of creation certainly cannot know you as you are, for they are manifested in the realm of dull matter. Since you are beyond the modes of nature, even Lord Brahma, who is bound up in these modes, does not know your true identity. Purport, God is transcendental to material nature. Unless we also transcend the limited consciousness of material existence, we cannot know him. Even the greatest living entity in the universe, Brahma, cannot understand the Supreme unless he comes to the platform of pure Krishna consciousness. Pure yogis worship you, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by conceiving of you in the threefold form comprising the living entities, material elements, and constitute the living entities' bodies, and the controlling deities of those elements. Brahmanas who follow the regulations concerning the three sacred fires worship you by chanting mantras from the three Vedas and performing elaborate fire sacrifices for the various demigods who have many forms and names. Purport, Akura has now described how those who follow the paths of Sankhya, Yoga, and the three Vedas worship the Supreme Lord in different ways. In various places where the Vedas appear to recommend that one worship Indra, Varuna, and other demigods, these demigods are stated to be supreme. But at the same time, the Vedas state that there is one supreme controller, the absolute truth. That is, Sri Krishna, the personality of God, who expands his potency through material creation into the forms of the demigods. Thus, worship of the demigods goes to him through the indirect method of karmakanda, or fruit of religious rituals. Ultimately, however, one who wants to achieve eternal perfection should worship the Lord directly in full Krishna consciousness. In pursuit of spiritual knowledge, some persons renounce all material activities and, having thus become peaceful, perform the sacrifice of philosophic investigation to worship you, the original form of all knowledge. Report, modern philosophers pursue knowledge without bothering to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and thus they naturally end up with meager, if not trivial, results. And yet others, those whose intelligence is pure, follow the injunctions of Vaishnava scriptures promulgated by you. Absorbing their minds in thought of you, they worship you as the one Supreme Lord manifesting in multiple forms. Purport, the word samskritatmanaha, they whose intelligence is pure, is significant here, implies that the worshippers mentioned here have not completely before have not, as mentioned before, have not completely purified their intelligence of material contamination and thus worship the Lord indirectly. Those who are purified, however, worship the Lord either as the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna or as one of his various plenary forms such as Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, Aniruddha, as indicated here. So here we have the prayers of Rakura, and he is offering prayers to this form of Vishnu lying upon Ananta Shesha in the Jamuna River, who actually manifests from Krishna and Balaram. So here Rakura actually is worshipping this form, and his prayers are actually, he's describing this form of Vishnu, who was lying there on Ananta Shesha. So therefore in his verse, this first verse, he's identifying him as Narayanam, Purusham Adyam Avyayam, from whose navel comes Brahma, the lotus, and then Brahma, which is technically would be Garbhodakshai, Vishnu form. In this way, Akura is offering prayers directly to the Supreme Lord. And even though we can say that Krishna and Balaram are Ananta and Vishnu, here Akura is praising this form of Vishnu rather than Krishna, who's actually standing on the chariot with Balaram. So he is doing this with great reverence. And as we know, worshippers of Vishnu understand Vishnu as the creator of the material world. And particularly we see here, Garbhodakshai Vishnu gives birth to Brahma, and then Brahma does the creation from the elements. So this is one of the Purusha avatars. So the word Purusha here is used. Of course, it means Supreme Lord in general, but it also refers to the Purusha avatar forms. We have Mahavishnu before the universe is created. We have Garbhodakshai Vishnu who enters into each universe. And we have Kshiradakshai Vishnu who within the universe expands himself into all the jivas in the material world. So they're all connected with material world, all these forms. So they're called the Purusha avatars. So in the Chaitanya Charitamrita there, there's a classification of different forms of the Lord, other than, of course, Krishna, Supreme Lord. So we get the avatar forms. So one is the Purusha avatars. So these are the ones, forms of the Lord, involved in manifesting the material world. So we have these three. They're called the Purusha avatars. We have guna avatars within the material world. Then we have Vishnu, Shiva, and Brahma taking care of the gunas of the material world. Of course, they are called avatars in an indirect way for as far as Shiva and Brahma are concerned, since they are empowered by the Supreme Lord to do certain works. So in that sense, they are avatars, even though generally Brahma is a jiva. And we don't class Shiva as the same as the Supreme Lord. But here they're called avatars because they're empowered by the Supreme Lord. So we got the Purusha avatars in charge of the creation of the material world and its destruction. And then we got the guna avatars in charge of the gunas, sattva, rajas, tamas. And then we get the lila avatars to perform pastimes within the material world. We got yuga avatars to particularly propagate the dharma for Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, Dwarpa Yuga, and Kali Yuga 1,000 times in each day of Brahma. So these avatars appear very often compared to the Lila avatars. So we get 4,000 Yuga avatars in one day of Brahma within each universe, each day of Brahma. So that's a lot of avatar forms. Whereas the Lila avatars, maybe there's about 20 or 25 of them. And they appear once, twice, sometimes, three times in one day of Brahma. So much less. We have Manvantara avatars. So these are forms of the Lord that preside over one Manvantara period of 71 yuga cycles. They're something like the Lila avatars, but
And some of the Leela avatars are also Manvanta avatars. The Vamana Dev is a Leela avatar, but he's also a Manvantara avatar for Vaivasvata Manvantara period. So he presides over this whole period of 71 yuga cycles, which is when Manu and his descendants rule the earth. That's another type of avatar. And then we have Chaktivesh avatars, who are also technically not Supreme Lord. They're jivas with special powers, like Narada and Prithu. So in this way we have different avatar forms, different forms of the Lord. And the Purusha avatars are one of these forms. So usually we'll find that the Purusha avatars are appraised because they are the first ones that manifest within the material world. We have Mahavishnu, then Garbhadakshaya Vishnu as described here, and Kshirodakshaya Vishnu, and they're obviously involved with the creation of the material world. And thus they illustrate great power of the Supreme Lord to manifest and destroy the material world and witness everything in the material world. So they are often praised in the various verses of the devotees in Bhagavatam and other places. This Purusha is here addressed as the first Adya, in the sense that everything comes from him within the material world. From Mahavishnu comes Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, from Garbhadakshaya Vishnu comes Brahma, from Brahma comes all the bodies for the living entities, etc., etc. And from Mahavishnu himself comes manifestation of all the material elements that creates the universes. So everything, and the jivas themselves come from Mahavishnu, so everything ultimately arises from him. Within the universe then, Brahma simply gives bodies to the jivas and creates planetary systems for the jivas to live in. The Purusha avatar therefore is superior to the guna avatars and others in one sense. Of course, Kshirodakshaya Vishnu is a Purusha avatar, is also guna avatar. He's sattva guna avatar. So the Purusha therefore is a primary person. And it is through the Purusha avatar that the Leela avatars and Manvantara avatars manifest. All of these forms, of course, all of these different avatars, not just the Purusha avatars, but the other Manvantara avatars and Leela avatars, are all, in one sense, one. The Purusha avatars are actually one, but we differentiate by function. So even the Leela avatars, even though they have extremely different forms, like turtle and fish and horse and pig, etc., they're actually only one entity, Supreme Lord. It's only one Supreme Lord manifesting different forms. And this form is Adya, first form. We cannot say that one comes after the other, one appeared before the other. They're all eternal. And they're all Adya, they're all original, they're all with no beginning. And Avya, never destroyed. No beginning, no end. And everything in the material world manifests through Supreme Lord. This Narayana is lying on Ananta Shesha, and Akura sees this form. Narayana, of course, is a very common word to describe Vishnu form. But if we analyze the word, it has a meaning. One of the meanings is he who lies in the water, or he who is the shelter of all the jivas, because the Nara means the human beings, Ayana means the shelter. So he's the shelter of all the jivas. In other words, this can refer to Mahavishnu as well, who has got all the jivas in him at Pralaya. And then when creation takes place, from Mahavishnu, all the jivas emanate and enter into the universes. So he's the shelter of all the jivas. So he said the ultimate shelter of all the jivas in the material world. He's like the Adi Guru in one sense here. He's the in charge of all the jivas in the material world. These jivas are conditioned jivas. They are distinct from the jivas in the spiritual world. So, of course, in the spiritual world, the Supreme Lord is also guru. He is the guru for everybody in the spiritual world as well. But difference is, they're unconditioned. Here, the souls, by and large, are conditioned in the material. But now we have devotees, of course, also, but then we have most of the jivas are conditioned. But the Lord gives shelter to everybody here in the material world. So that's the function of the Vishnu form. Spiritual world, no conditioning at all. The Lord is naturally the shelter of everyone, but they don't have any conditioning. So the Lord does not have to deal with them through karma or anything else in the spiritual world. Therefore, this form of Narayan is very special because he is the shelter of all the jivas in the material world. He's their ultimate resort at Pralaya when destruction takes place. Out of compassion, this Lord manifests the material world for these jivas. And we cannot understand how is this compassion, because the jivas are subject to karma and distress and birth and death at the material world. So the compassion of the Lord is, one, he helps the Lord fulfill their material desires and their karmas. So that's his compassion. The other compassion is he makes the material world so the jivas can fulfill their karmas, but he also constructs it in such a way that there's opportunity for the jivas to get out. So in the previous chapter we saw how there was maya, and within maya we had vidya and avidya. So within the material world itself there is vidya that manifests in sattva-gun, and this allows the jiva to get liberated from the material world. So therefore, the construction of the material world is very clever. It's not just for bondage, it's also for liberation. So if you get up to sattva, then you can get liberated. But of course, we know that liberation is not everything. Higher than liberation is prema. So within the material world, the Lord makes arrangements for dharma, to raise people to sattva, and for bhakti, to give them prema. How does he do that? Through Manvantara avatars and manus and their descendants who propagate dharma and bhakti in the material world, through great devotees, through Shaktivesh avatars like Narada, and other devotees who are not Shaktivesh avatars, through scriptures, through the process of bhakti, through Harinam, and Yuga Dharma, etc. So these are ways in which the jivas can get prema. So, and all this takes place within the material world. Spiritual world, we don't need avatars. Avatar means to descend into the material world with a specific function of creation or helping the jivas, establishing dharma, establishing bhakti, etc. But spiritual world, everybody's eternally liberated, so no need for avatar as such. Yeah, those forms also exist there. So we have Hayagriva, Narsimha, and Varaha, and Matsya, and Kurma. They're eternal. And they all belong to the spiritual world as well. We don't call them avatar, because they don't, not in the material world. So, what do they do there? They have pastimes with their eternal devotees. Just as Krishna has pastimes with his devotees, Narsimha has pastime with his devotees, Vishnu has pastimes with his devotees, etc. in the spiritual world. So the function changes. The bhakti is fully mature, so therefore they simply operate with pure bhakti or prema in the spiritual world, and it's all full of bliss. So therefore we have all these different forms of the Lord, all the devotees of the Lord serving them. So they're under the shelter of a particular form of the Lord, and there they get prema. The material world, the Lord is giving shelter to the jivas, but they are conditioned. So therefore Mahavishnu repeatedly creates material worlds and sticks the jivas in the material worlds with all their karma so that they can get their enjoyment and also get exposed to devotional service. So in any case, the Lord makes the arrangement for both things. If they want to enjoy, he gives some opportunity. If they want to get out of the material world, get liberation, fine. If they want to get bhakti, fine. He makes arrangement for all of that. So therefore, the Lord is not without compassion in making this material world. He makes all arrangements for all jivas so they can fulfill their desires here. So therefore, he is a perfect creator. So these verses describe here how all the different elements are born from the Supreme Lord, etc. All the elements which are achit. Nothing to praise in one sense, the achit aspect of the Lord, but because it is under the power of the Lord, he cleverly arranges all the material elements in different combinations. So we get places for the jivas, and we get bodies for the jivas, and we get enjoyment for the jivas in the material world. So they get senses, sense objects, so they can enjoy. They got a mind, intelligence, ego, etc. So all these are factors to help them get their enjoyment in the material world. Simultaneously, the same things can be used for bhakti. So therefore, the very definition of sadhana bhakti is engagement of the senses and the mind in serving Krishna. So though we may think, giving senses to the jivas and bodies, etc., all maya. No, also useful. So with the body, with the senses, with the mind, with the intelligence, we can engage in devotional service. So all these things, material things which are achit, become useful for getting out of the material world and achieving prema. So therefore, this is the skill with which the Supreme Lord creates everything in the material world. It can function for a very, very good purpose, that is, devotional service.
Well, you mentioned that in spiritual world there's no need of avatars because they're directly seeing Krishna face to face. But my question is that the devotees in Vaikuntha, they will not, are they aware that there's a Goloka or a different avatars? Like we in material world, we are able to know different avatars and we are able to relish these pastimes. What about spiritual world?
Yeah, well, they can, but generally they're attached to one particular form. And that's why the different forms are manifested, because certain jivas have devotion and attraction for a certain form. So in the spiritual world, there are devotees of Narasimhadev. So they prefer that particular form, even though the other forms are all there, whatever. They prefer to worship that form more than the others. Just as some devotees prefer to worship Rama. So in the spiritual world, they worship Rama, and they don't they're not concerned with Vaikuntha or Goloka or anything. They're just worshiping Rama in Ayodhya, finished. And the same with the people who worship Krishna in Dwarka, they're worshiping Krishna, and they don't think about Ayodhya or Vaikuntha or anywhere else, because they're satisfied with Krishna. And people in Goloka are worshiping Krishna as a cowherd boy, and they don't think about Dwarka or Ayodhya or anywhere else as well. So all these devotees have particular ways in which they're satisfied with particular forms, and that becomes their sole type of remembrance. There are, of course, some jivas who have no particular preference or one or other, a little bit of liking for everything. So they can join anything like this, wander around and go from one place to the other. But that's not considered to be so elevated. They have a little taste for everything and they can observe everything, serve a little bit here, serve a little there, like that. And that's because when they did sadhana, they also did a similar thing. They worshipped everybody. Little Narasimhadev, little Krishna, little Rama, little this, little that, and all different avatars. They worship a little everything. And so they develop some sort of equal worship of all the different forms of the Lord. So in the spiritual world, similarly, they get that type of realization. So nothing particularly strong, but appreciation of all the forms.
So sometime when we get a question that it's better to be a Nityabaddha and get purified and go to Nityasiddha, Goloka, so we'll be able to know all the pastimes. But Nityasiddha will not be knowing anything about Lord's avatars, anything. They only get fixed to the body.
Well, even if you do sadhana, generally you concentrate on one form. And if you start concentrating on many, then the prema is not so intense. So if you want to get Krishna prema in Vrindavan, like the Brajavasis, then you have to concentrate on that. You cannot think about Dwarka or Ayodhya or anything like that. Then you don't get that. So, and especially the more intense prema in Goloka, then you have to concentrate only on that. You cannot simultaneously do something else. So therefore, those who do sadhana and attain Goloka then, or Gokul in the spiritual world, they are not aware of anything else. Just like the Brajavasis, eternal people there are not aware of anything else. So those who have sadhana siddhas, they're also the same. They're only concerned of Krishna as the cowherd boy. Yeah, they develop attraction for that form, so they become absorbed in that particular form.
You are saying that, you know, all the avatars are there in the spiritual world. What about this Mohini? Because in the first canon of Srimad Bhagavatam, Mohini also considered as an avatar. And also normally the Mohini avatar, you know, only to build it a demon only. It's only temporary, not a permanent. But it's considered as an avatar.
Well, some of the avatars are temporary in the sense they don't manifest for a great period of time. That's all. But it doesn't mean, because they got spiritual bodies, they can't die. So even the Mohini avatar is in charge of, she's the presiding deity of the layers. There's various layers of the universe. Like earth and fire and water, air, ether. And we get Prakriti layer. Then in the Prakriti layer, we have Mohini avatar as the presiding deity there. in that. So she's also there. And of course, Prakriti exists after the dissolution of the universe also. So therefore we have the presiding deity Mohini there also. So in any way she resides there. But then of course in the spiritual world again, she can function as well. So it's not
see any, you know, any bodies worshipping Mohini avatar in the material
world? It's not so common, not so common. No Mohini temple. Yeah. So, among all the different avatars, there's a classification. So at the bottom we have those who are manifest less powers and they manifest for less period of time. So Mohini or Kapila, these are put on the bottom category. Then we have those who have more powers like that, more and more powers, and then we get Varaha and Nrsimha, and then finally we get Krishna up top. So those that manifest less powers are classified as, you know, manifestation of qualities.
What about the Lord Buddha? How to accept him? Because normally Lord Buddha, normally we take him in, like, you know, he's the atheist, you know, because he rejects the Vedas.
But it is directly described that he has a certain purpose, just like Shankaracharya had a certain purpose, and he's actually incarnation of Shiva, but then he had a certain purpose. So Buddha had a certain purpose also. Taking people away from karmakanda, etc. So, nothing wrong with that. But they say that in Kali Yuga, Vishnu does not manifest. So therefore, if a Buddha manifests in Kali Yuga as well as Kalki, then cannot be Vishnu. It has to be Shaktivesh avatar only. So therefore, then we can consider him a Shaktivesh avatar, and Kalki also is a Shaktivesh avatar. And generally, the Kali Yuga, Yuga Dharma avatar, doing kirtan 1,000 times in the day of Brahma, is also Shaktivesh avatar. Whereas in the other yugas, he's not. He's actually a Vishnu form.
See, whatever Buddha has given, that his philosophy, is someone worship him, but it's not possible for him to go to spiritual world, because he has given very limited philosophy, even, you know, in some 10 or some theories he has given. It's not sufficient.
Well, we can say Lord Chaitanya only gave Shishtashtaka. the followers of Buddha have written extensive things, so there's an extensive literature of Buddhism also. You know. Of course, they have different opinions also, and they have different groups of Buddhists. So anyway, avatar is there, and if one worships that avatar, then one gets some benefit because he's avatar of the Supreme Lord. But also he's Shaktivesh avatar, so he's not ultimately Supreme Lord. It's like Narada Muni, who's a devotee or whatever. So he's more like a devotee of the Lord than the Supreme Lord, but he's got special powers given by the Lord.
So can you say that, you know, all the avatars, like Shaktavasha avatars or Guna avatars, they don't have any abode in the spiritual world?
They don't have their own abode because the Shaktavasha avatars, they're more like jivas, so therefore, but they are in the spiritual world, they have eternal forms. So Narada Muni has
devotee.
Eternal form, Kumar has eternal form, they all have eternal form.
As a devotee?
Yeah.
Now what about the Guna avatar?
Guna avatar, no.
No.
Well, Brahma is just a jiva. Yeah. His form is not eternal, you see. Yeah. Shaktavasha avatar, eternal forms. Forms. The Brahma is the temporary material body and gives it up. Shiva, of course, is a separate category.
What about the Dattatreya?
He's also avatar.
But his philosophy is wrong.
Huh?
His philosophy is wrong.
Again, it's something like Jnana, teaching Jnana, etc. Just like even the Kumaras teach Jnana. No, Atma experiences
suffering.
Yeah.
So this sort of inconvenience is there in the spiritual world also?
Experiences? Yeah. So therefore when they're separated from Krishna, the gopis are suffering. Because they can experience. But material world experience of suffering is in ignorance, because suffering is due to identification of a body which is suffering. Jiva cannot suffer from fire, heat, swords, guns, nothing. Cannot die. So that sense, he cannot die. Only the body can suffer. So because we identify with the body, we suffer in the material world. And we experience pain.
But in the spiritual world, it's the real experience of the Atma.
Yeah, but it's not real suffering because it's got nothing to do, it's all related to Krishna. It's got nothing to do with our material body. It's got to do with Krishna, separation from Krishna, meeting with Krishna. So only within that, it's part of prema.
It gives so much confusion, this Adyam word. When you say Adyam means beginning,
yeah.
It is a different explanation.
So he's there before everything else.
One second, before in the material.
Everything else has a beginning, he has no beginning, in other words.
So when you say everything else has a beginning, that means Atma also has a beginning then.
Huh?
Atma also has a beginning.
Well, everything else has a beginning in the sense that without him, the jiva does not exist. Or Prakriti does not exist. And they only manifest through his power. So the jivas exist eternally, but they're all sitting within Mahavishnu. And only when he wills it, then they manifest into material worlds and whatever like that. And similarly with Prakriti. It can do nothing, and it only manifests through Mahatattva, etc. and becomes a universe is by will of Supreme Lord. So it's all under the Supreme Lord, under the control of the Supreme Lord.
When you see the Brahma Samhita, Govindam Adi Purusham, he says Adi Purusham means Adi, same word he used.
Well, he's Adi Purusha in the sense that he is the form of the Lord that manifests the most qualities. And all the other forms manifest less qualities. They're all obviously eternal, the forms of the Lord, but he is the highest form of the Lord.
Even in Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a gradation is given, like Krishna, Balaram, first Chaturvyuh, Sankarsuna again, second Chaturvyuh come, something like it is given. So what is the purpose of this? Because already everything is eternal, all the forms are eternal.
Just to show the amount of powers that manifest in them, that's all. They manifest different amounts of powers and qualities. So therefore someone like Kapila, even though he is Supreme Lord, Vishnu, he doesn't teaches, that's all. Doesn't manifest much powers, doesn't create material worlds, doesn't do much, but he preaches and gives knowledge of bhakti. So some forms are like that, others do more activities like Hayagriva or something, he manifests the Vedas, or Matsya, he rescues the Vedas, or Kurma, he holds up the Mandara Mount, they show more powers, like that. So some show less, some show more powers, but all actually one Supreme Lord. Yeah. He's also Shaktavesh Avatar.
I mean that some avatars, they keep overlapping.
Yeah.
They keep existing in other yugas also.
Krishna and Balaram, simultaneous. Vyasadeva also same time. Parsarams also then, along at the same time. So, yeah, so they may last a long time. Vamana also is still around. He's the Manvantara avatar. So he's still around. Some are manifest at the same time, or some are still around when others manifest, etc.